Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of a world gone mad, in the face of great evil that threatens to snuff out all that is true and all who are righteous, in a time of wickedness, when wickedness flourishes and the wicked seem unstoppable, the Holy Spirit would draw our eyes away from the darkness and toward the light. Epiphany is a season of light. And Epiphany is a bringing to light of something that is hidden from sight. And what could be more hidden from sight than the divinity of Christ, the one who was born in Bethlehem? What could be more hidden from sight than the fact that Christ Jesus, even now, is victorious over sin, over the devil, over the world, and that he reigns over this world's darkness for the good of his beloved church? For now, turn your thoughts to the visit of the wise men as they were guided by the light to the one who is the light, which is the epiphany after which this whole season of the church year is named. We're told that there came from the east wise men to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, where were they from in the east? Who were they, and how many of them were there? Scripture doesn't say any more about these wise men than what Matthew tells us right here in chapter 2 of his gospel. That's because the important thing for every generation since then to know isn't who they were, or where exactly they were from, or how many of them there were. The important thing about them is that they were Gentiles, non-Jews, from a foreign land. Non-Jews who evidently had access to the Jewish scriptures, at least some of them, and who had the understanding to perceive that a special light they saw over the land of Judea was the fulfillment of a prophecy about the birth of the King of the Jews. Not just a King of the Jews, or they would have shown up for Herod's installment. No, the King of the Jews, whose dominion would extend over the Gentiles, whose kingdom would reach to the ends of the earth. Maybe it was Balaam's prophecy in Numbers chapter 24 that they saw. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Out of Jacob one shall have dominion." Or maybe it was Isaiah's prophecy that you heard this evening in the first reading, the prophecy about the glory of the Lord rising upon the land of Israel, and how Gentiles and kings would walk in their light, bringing treasures of gold and incense, and declaring the praises of the Lord. In any case, the wise men revealed themselves to be men who believed that God is real and that he acts in the world. They were men who believed that the Old Testament was reliable, so reliable that they were willing to make the long journey to the foreign land of Israel, convinced that a special child had been born there. They were men who believed that that child was worthy of their treasures and of their worship, acknowledging him as God in the flesh. And they were men who believed that that child had come to bring light to this dark world and had come to give a place in his kingdom to any and all who believed in him, that he would combine Jews and Gentiles into one great kingdom made up of all those who kneel before him in faith. The star they followed was no ordinary star or planets. It appeared for a while, whether at or before the birth of Christ, we don't know. And then it disappeared as they were journeying toward the land of Israel. So they headed toward Jerusalem, the royal city of Israel, thinking that the king had to be found there, surely expecting that all Israel would be celebrating the birth of the promised king. But all they found was a nation, a city, going about its business as usual, and wicked King Herod, who had no idea that the prophesied king had been born. From their description to him, he knew they must be talking about the king, the Messiah, so he called in all the priests to find out where the Christ was supposed to be born, and they quickly cited the passage that you all know well from Micah chapter 5, identifying his birthplace as Bethlehem. Instead of celebrating the birth of the king, instead of giving thanks to God for revealing his birth to them, the Jews, through these Gentiles who had come to their land to worship their king, it says that Herod and all Jerusalem were troubled at the news. They had grown too accustomed to a world without obvious divine intervention. They had made peace to some degree with their political situation under the Romans. They had begun to view life on earth from a purely humanistic, secularist perspective, even as they outwardly practiced the Jewish religion. Their faith in the God of Israel had become an empty shell, not for every individual in Jerusalem or in Israel, but for enough. And so the reaction of Jerusalem to the wise men's visit and the revelation of the birth of Christ ranged from apathy to fear to hostility. Neither the scribes, the priests, nor the people of Jerusalem, nor King Herod felt like accompanying the wise men to find or to worship their newborn king. Some apparently didn't care enough to go. Others were surely frightened of their own government, afraid to be found worshiping the king of the Jews openly because of what they already suspected King Herod would do to any of them who did. And we know from the verses that we considered this last Sunday just how much hostility Herod felt toward that newborn king of the Jews. This is how the Jews reacted to the news of the birth of their own king. What a contrast with the reaction of the Gentiles, the wise men. As soon as they learned where the child was to be born, they headed straight for Bethlehem. It didn't matter to them that Bethlehem was an insignificant little backwoods town, nor did it matter how uninterested everyone around them in Jerusalem seemed to be in worshiping that child. It didn't matter because they were convinced that he was worthy of their worship. And so they went. And suddenly, as they went toward Bethlehem, the star reappeared and led them straight to the house where Jesus was. Again, no ordinary star, but a miraculous light, an epiphany from God, which only these men perceived. They arrived where Jesus was, found him, fell down at his feet before him and worshipped him and presented him with their treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh because he was worthy of their worship, worthy to receive their treasures, worthy to be praised because of who he is both true God and true man, and because of what he would do. Make atonement for the sins of the world, and welcome all sinners of every race into his kingdom of grace by calling them through the gospel to repentance and to faith in him. That light of Christ, that light of the gospel about Christ, still shines in the darkness of this world, a darkness that has always been there and that has only gotten worse. And people react to the light now the same way they did 2,000 years ago. Some, including many Christians who should know better, have become apathetic, indifferent toward it. Others are too governed by fear to seek it. Others are hostile toward it. But a few are like the wise men who know that the Scriptures are reliable, who know that Jesus is the Christ, who believe in his promise to unite all who seek him into a church that may well appear ravaged in this world and unsophisticated and backward, but a church that in reality is the beautiful, brilliantly shining bride of Christ, a church that even now holds out the light of Christ to the world and that will one day have its own epiphany when the sons of God are revealed in glory. The marks of the church, as we call them, are the star and the light that Christians must now follow to Christ. The gospel rightly preached and the sacraments rightly administered. Where those marks are seen, and that is something you can see, that is where Christians should go. For there they can be sure that Christ and his church will be found. And when they find him, they will find a Savior who is worthy of their worship, both because of who he is and because of the grace he has given and promises to give. So whom will you imitate when confronted by that light? The apathetic, the fearful, the hostile, or the wise men? May God grant that you imitate those wise men, their faith, their joy in being guided by God to Christ, no matter what obstacles lay in their path, and to God through Christ. Those wise men, with their humble worship of him who was born to be the King of the Jews and of all who put their trust in him. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.